off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bright touchdown, FAU.
And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
And welcome to Cheers from the Press Box. I am your host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my co-host, as always.
What's up, everybody? Brennan Tassif coming to you live from Astoria, New York.
And do we have a story to tell you guys today?
Running
late on time again, kind of, sort of. But a lot of the games weren't impressive to us. So we said, you know what? Let's shake up the format a bit. And it's an easier way to condense some of the show and start introducing some elements of some other things. So without any further ado.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
Brennan.
Yes.
I said we're running late on time. Do you know what time it is?
I think I have it. Yeah, I have it right here. It's time for Game of the Week.
Game of the week. 2 weeks in a row, this team has been featured in Game of the Week. Either they're doing something right or wrong. The Buffalo Bills go to Detroit, and they beat the Detroit Lions 48-42. Sorry, almost had dyslexia there. I did preface this game by telling Brennan I had a story from fantasy. So, this was a 4 o'clock game, 4:25. And after the 1 o'clock games, Brennan, your boy was down bad in my sleeper app league. Yeah. I was down like 100 to like 50-something. Yeah, I was getting my butt kicked. Jordan Mixon. Joe Mixon didn't do much. Zay Flowers didn't do much.
I felt that.
So I'm like, woo. So I'm already in there, you know, like, dang, 2 years in a row, I was the champ, you know, somebody had to take me down. See you guys on the other side. And then Brennan
put on his cape.
I had Jared Goff as my quarterback.
No, I thought you were going to
say Jay Allen. I had Jared Goff as my quarterback. And what I took
put on his cape,
that final drive where he's just chucking, I'm like, yeah, just get all these extra yards, baby. Just get these extra yards. And then he got the touchdown. I was like, Tutty, let's go. He got 62 points. 62 of them. I was so gleeful. And then I was up after that. I was up. He had David Montgomery. David Montgomery ended up getting hurt, unfortunately. He had Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry didn't do much against the Giants.
Derrick Henry hasn't scored a touchdown in 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. But he had Brian Thomas Jr., and he had CeeDee Lamb, and he had, Jonnu Smith, and that was buoying him. The place he erred was, and no one could predict it, but he had Brock Purdy, who gave him 2.9. So I was
That's
able
so
to.
Good.
I had to have a couple explosions there. AJ Brown getting off really helped me as well. But
that was totally me. Round. But I have Josh Allen. Everyone knows I take Josh Allen in the second round. Everyone always calls me crazy. Well, Josh Allen's the reason I won my fantasy playoff game. So we're moving. We're keeping it moving. But you mentioned the injury. Montgomery goes out. Yeah. The Lions end up losing this game by one possession. But the defense is now so out of the
ravaged.
Yeah. So if you go too deep at every position, that's 22 players. The defense has 13 of those players on IR. So 13 out of the 22 first and second team players for the Detroit Lions defense are on IR. They lost three more guys. The defensive tackle
McNeil.
Yeah. McNeil, who was kind of doing. He was kind of bringing the pressure from the interior, trying to make up for Aiden Hutchinson's being gone. They lost another defensive back. This is the fifth one this season.
Davis, and I can't remember the other one.
But it's just, I wanted to ask you, because this, we've seen this Lions offense, it's high powered. You know, there's no more Sonic and Knuckles, just Sonic. But hey, that's what the whole video game is based on, so they'll be just fine there. Do you think the Lions defense can succeed? Even if in these blowouts, do you think they can stop anybody? Because Dan Campbell doesn't. He went for an onside kick with 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter, down by 10, because he does not believe in this defense.
I don't know if that's necessarily I don't believe in the defense. I feel like that was a bit of the same thing that happened in Miami in the Syracuse game. Like, I know I have to get two scores. It's just, when am I going to get these two scores? Can I get these two scores now? Can I, you know, usurp a score from them and try to, you know, gain?
Yeah, but he also kicked a field goal on a fourth and one, which is very not Dan Campbell, because he knew if they didn't get it,
you got to get the points. You got to get the points you got to get. Yeah. Look.
No, I agree with you. It's just, this seems very like Dan Campbell's not that coach, and he hasn't been all year. Now all of a sudden,
when you're playing a team that's putting up 40 on the other side, yeah, you gotta get what you can when you can get it. Like, you're not gonna be picky and choosy right now. I think this was a really good game. But I think the worst is actually on the other side. And the other team's defense, they have some injuries. They have some big injuries, but they don't have 13 guys out. Yeah. And the Bills in the last 2 weeks have let a team score 44 in the Rams. Very good team, but they haven't produced like that since
all year.
Before. They put 12 points up against the 49ers, who have a depleted roster in their own right. And then they allowed 42 to the Detroit Lions. Like, I don't think the Bills are going to get it done in the postseason.
Yeah.
Because we're right back where we started. Like, the thing me and you feared for this team was, this is not really going to work if Josh Allen has to do everything. And James Cook was able to get off in this game. But in the last, 2 weeks, Josh Allen has scored 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Either by air, land, or by sea.
Allen would be the sixth ranked running back for touchdowns scored.
He has five rushing touchdowns in the last two games.
Yeah, he's 11 on the year.
No, I'm saying in the last two games, he has five rushing
touchdowns. No, that's what I'm saying. Total, he's got,
he has five. When the defenses are better, when the screws get tightened and when the pressure is heightened, I don't, unless Josh Allen goes and, you know, I'll leave room for this, unless he's just that fucking guy and he goes on a game record, Donkey Kong, kill the enemy type of screed through the playoffs.
Joe Flacco 2012 style?
Yeah, just, you know, burn the towns and burn the cities.
Burn the boats.
Burn the boats. Unless he goes on one of those, like, meteoric runs, I can't see them getting out of the AFC Championship at the very best, because they're going to only face good teams and better than not defenses.
Yep.
And, I mean, Detroit is without their best defensive player for much of the season. Like you said, they've lost body after body after body. It's like, so for them, I think their hopes of a Super Bowl is also slipping away in this.
Yeah, I talked to a good personal friend, Keegan-Michael Key. He's a huge Detroit Lions fan.
He is a Detroit fan.
And I was like, hey, what's going on with Aiden? Like, is he going to be able to make it back? And he, I guess, has, you know, he talks to people there. He's in the know. He said the only way he could possibly come back would be if they made it to the Super Bowl. And I was like, yeah, but that's what, like, the news and stuff is saying. He's like, no, I talk to people, and even then, that's pushing it. Like, he's probably not coming back, but he, you know, they wanted to save face. And I was like, damn, man.
Yeah, he'd grit it out. It'd be like when T.O. played, like, he probably shouldn't have played, but I'm going to play.
Dude, I saw that popped up on my TikTok the other day. I was like, damn, T.O. was a problem.
T.O. was an issue. I see you have on here Josh Allen MVP. I don't know if that's just carryover from last week.
Well, it's Josh Allen MVP and a loss. And then I was like, no, Josh Allen's just the MVP.
Oh, okay. I mean, The one thing I will say about Josh Allen MVP, how we're just like just gonna give it to him, though he has been spectacular this year. Lamar Jackson is having a better passing year than him, by far. And Saquon Barkley, like, if we take in like the game into account, Saquon Barkley is due like 10 more touchdowns. You could just tack on 10 touchdowns because I think it's, well, I think now it might be 11 touchdowns. I think 11 times, I don't know what it is with Eagles running back. It's like this gravitational pull. But he's had 11 carries that have stopped at the one.
Oh, really?
And then Jalen tush pushes it in.
Yeah. I mean, you know the argument against Saquon, and he has been transcendent and he's very good.
But I'm saying if he had 11 more touchdowns.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of, or 12 more touchdowns, the talk would be a little different. Because
a lot of the stuff I'm hearing is they went to the Super Bowl with Miles Sanders. How much does a running back really mean? That's a lot of the talk that I've been hearing. I mean, I love Saquon.
You saw they went to the Super Bowl with Miles Sanders. They also collapsed on their face last year with DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be on pace to be doing an epic collapse this year. So
you're not keeping time, are you? We spent 13 minutes on this.
No, because we got so much less stuff this time.
Right.
Saquon, I got 30 has a minutes. Total of 14 touchdowns. No, sorry, 11 touchdowns. So tack on.
So if you said 25, more. That would be insane.
If he had 24 touchdowns right now.
No, I completely agree. I think the voting is going to go Josh, Lamar, Saquon. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. I was about to say, they'll probably. And the annoying thing is, not the annoying thing, but the thing that'll probably happen is they'll split the baby. Wait, do they do AFC and NFC offensive players? They split it like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So then Saquon will win the NFC one. And Lamar will win
100%.
AFC one. And then Josh will get the MVP.
And all my years of franchise mode on Madden, that's kind of how it goes. It's like 1, 2, 3, and then 2 and 3 get their respective MVP. Yeah,
split that
MVP,
on the, if they're not on the same.
Yeah.
But all right, moving on. I'll let you take this away, Brendan.
Okay, so there's, like Joe said, there was not a lot of good games. Not very many great games other than the Detroit-Buffalo game. So instead of doing a bunch of games, we're just going to break down our team. So Jacksonville playing in Duval against the Jets. This is the thing. The Jets end up winning on the final drive. Breece Hall needed that 13 points from him for fantasy. But it was weird because we're missing so many guys.
So many guys,
especially on offense. We're missing our starting quarterback, our starting wide receiver, our starting tight end, our starting left back. Like, it's just on and on and on. And we actually were in pretty good control of this game the whole time.
Traded your starting left
tackle. Yeah, traded the starting left tackle. Mac Jones looked like he was having fun. He was dancing. He was getting first downs and talking shit. I thought he was high. A big part of me was like, is he high right now? Is he high out there? Brian Thomas Jr. coming in a big, bad way. He is now our WR1, wide receiver one. And there's no doubt about it. But Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams looked like MVP season 2014 Devontae and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Devontae Adams had 135 yards in the last 4 minutes of this game. Scored a touchdown. They had a 3-play, 70-yard drive to cap off the final drive. Like I said, Breece Hall ran it in. So we ended up losing by 7. But to me, I was like, hey, we were in control of this whole game. It was Mac Jones throwing that interception. You know he's going to throw. It's a very Jameis Winston kind of thing.
I was about to say, it's almost Jameis.
Fourth quarter, game on the line. He throws
Jameis
it to him.
Two of the most Jameis-ass picks that keeps getting.
So I am very hopeful for the future once we get rid of Doug Peterson. Trevor comes back healthy. Brian Flores is the new head coach. I'm looking forward to it.
You giving up on Ben Johnson?
Well, so I've heard a couple interesting things from a few different of the football podcasts I listen to. And
you
I never noticed.
Stay again?
No, but I've never noticed this trend. There is a difference there in the last couple of years. There's been this surge to hire the hot OC, like genius wonderkin play caller. Mm. And I think there is this kind of opened my eyes hearing people talk about this. I think there is a stark difference between the hot play caller, Mike McDaniel, Cliff Kingsbury, these kind of guys, Shane Steichen, and the coach. Sean McVay is a coach. You know what I mean? Like Brian Flores is a coach. Like I think there's a stark difference between the two. So I think what happens is they get these hot, trendy play callers in and the offense looks great for a few weeks, maybe even, you know, a half a season. But then like, you know, Mike McDaniel is a perfect analogy. Tua Tagovailoa is an injury prone quarterback. And you didn't have a number two on your team. Like, like to me, that's like, yeah, you can draw up all the plays, but like you see what I'm saying? Like the difference between, and I think Ben Johnson.
I think I've brought this up before these podcasts you listen to, because our good friend Dominic Foxworth, it's a name dropper podcast, has talked about the OC fallacy happens a lot, and saying you need like the head coach is more of a CEO. He's a manager of people.
Yeah.
Like a special teams guy is probably the best guy because he usually touches everybody, but he's not game planning, making the actual like plays and everything. You want to get position specific guys. You want to get an OC to be your OC. You don't want your OC to be the head coach because then he has to cover so many things that he's not really focusing on the offense, or he's only focusing on the offense and doesn't cover everything else.
Yeah. And I think, and I know you've brought that up before, and so is Fox, but it's just one of those things where I think when it was dumbed down and people were like, head coach versus play caller.
Bill Simmons said it. Come on, let's be honest.
It wasn't Bill. Bill didn't say this. This wasn't a Bill Simmons podcast.
When Russillo said it, come on.
Russillo didn't say this. This was not a Ringer podcast that I heard it on, to be honest. But yeah, so it's the same point. But I think what happens is, with what's going on with Ben Johnson, is I think he's a play caller. I think he's a great play caller, and I think he's a great offensive coordinator. But the more I've watched it, and like how Dan Campbell's really the heart and soul of that team, but it's like Ben Johnson's like the mad scientist.
The brains.
Yeah. So I want Brian Flores. That's a long way to go to say that. All right. That's it. That's all I got. Jags are going to be fine.
You guys needed that loss. It was a good loss. You know, you looked competent, but you took the loss. So you
I don't want Travis Hunter. Everyone's talking about Travis Hunter. I don't want Travis Hunter.
I didn't say, me and you already talked. Like, trade the pick, go back.
Go back
some
four spots, get that LSU tackle.
Yeah, I was like, get some linemen. Get all the linemen you can.
All of them.
And then
all
after
of
they
them.
Fail, they can go to the Eagles to be guards.
Well, if we take three tackles, we could just move them to guard ourselves.
Well, I don't think you guys have the wherewithal.
That's why we need Brian.
All right.
Like, get your slow ass into the guard spot.
As me and Brendan alluded to, I was about to say, it's a random thing. The Eagle, Dominique and Charlie Hume.
Chaplin.
No. Charlie Hume from the Dominique Foxworth podcast. They made a funny note about the Eagles offensive line. It's like you got two tackles on the outside, right? And then what are the guards?
Tackles.
They basically got two tackles to be their guards. They got 6'7" Mekhi Becton and 6'6" Landon Dickerson to be their guards. And it's like, if you just put a bunch of tackles on the line, the hugest people you can find, they're gonna have a pretty good line.
Yeah, you're gonna be all right.
Speaking of the Eagles, as we said, we're gonna shake up the show a little bit. We're only talking about our teams here. The Philadelphia Eagles played the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Philadelphia Eagles won 27-13. Jalen Hurts with one of the funnier quotes. That's what you wanted, right? Because he threw the ball all over the field, 290 yards, two TDs, no interceptions. Did have a fumble. Saquon only carried the ball 19 times for 65 yards. Jalen ran it 15 times as well.
Is Saquon hurt?
He took a shot in the game that was a little odd. And they've held him out for the rest of the first half. Okay. And then he played again in the second half. I felt like I just sent, like, I texted in the chat. I was like, Saquon needs treatment. At the end of the first half, I was like, I don't know why they didn't just take him in instead of having him stand on the sideline the whole time. Like, I can get it. It's like, you need treatment, dog. Like, you need whatever, like, knot you have in your leg right now from that shot. You need to massage that out. Both the receivers were able to get touchdowns, over 100 yards apiece for both of them. So the offense looked good. The defense, though, the defense is spectacular. This is, I did I post on what's the name? Or did I just say that in my group chat? The Eagles have a Super Bowl talented defense.
This is a far cry from week three.
I know, right? Well, they are a far cry from week three.
We said they're, because we said in the beginning of the season, because they had some games where you're like, what the fuck? And then other games where you're like, what the fuck? Yeah. They had the talent. They just had to put it together. Cooper DeJean, let's go. Bring white corners back.
Once he entered the lineup, it's been phenomenal. Quinyon Mitchell on the outside has been spectacular.
And Slay's out, isn't he?
No, Slay's been in and out. He's in right now. But
that's a nasty lineup. Quinyon Mitchell, Darius Slay, and Cooper DeJean.
And then you got CJ in the back, and then Reed in the back, the interception machine that he is. And then Jalen Carter has ignited as the prospect that we thought he could be.
Is Davis still playing?
I was going to say, Jordan Davis is playing, but less. He's more anonymous than Jalen Carter is. Jalen Carter is making a lot more of the impact plays. But we started, one thing I did like, though, we started the game with a five down line and two back, and two linebackers, basically.
Yeah.
Nolan Smith has come on a lot lately off the edge.
And the one and only?
Kobe Dean,
my guy.
Everything is pretty much clicking, man. Barring any major injury, nicks and bruises are going to be picked up along the way. Went out. You got three games all in division. Cowboys, Giants, Commandos. Went out. Hope Detroit takes an L. We can get the number one seed, rest up for a week going into the postseason. And, Kenny Gainwell had a great game the other day. Like, there's really – and it's what I said at the beginning of the season. There's no flaws – personnel-wise, on this team. It's just about execution. Getting out there and having the right game plan and executing the game plan. This is a team that just has to execute. Howie's put together a phenomenal roster like he has the last couple of years. But it's just about getting the job done. On the other side for the Pittsburgh Steelers, unfortunate T.J. Watt did get hurt. I don't know the severity of the injury.
Twisted ankle is what he said.
Okay, so he may not even miss a game. Really. But the offense without George Pickens looks super stagnant. Also, the Eagles were pretty much blanketing everything they were trying to get done. Without Pickens there, it looked pretty anemic. The defense still looked good at times where the Eagles were able to find some holes. They were able to limit the rushing attack. So Jalen was able to torch them, torch their corners, because they were just trying to one-on-one AJ and Devontae, and it's like, those just are not so the guys dumb. You want a one-on-one.
So dumb.
Like, get out of the media. Those aren't the guys you want a one-on-one. So, but yeah, that is the games.
Go, Tommy! I didn't hear no bell.
Tommy.
One more round.
All right. Me and Brennan had a brief thing we talked about, and then we said, you know, let's just take it to the pod. I believe that whomever the team is that comes out of the NFC will win the championship. Mm-hmm. Will win the Super Bowl. The AFC teams, all of them give me a little pause. Brennan, what say you?
So yeah, I agree. Looking at the standings right now, AFC versus NFC, it's just this weird thing where like the top two, Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, you're like, oh, I feel pretty strongly about that. But even what we've talked about, like the Bills defense can't stop anybody the last couple weeks. So already by the second team, I'm given pause. And then it's the Steelers who can't score on offense, the Texans who aren't who they were.
You don't have any pause with Kansas City?
I mean, as long as they have Patrick, I think they're fine. But
well, he has a high ankle sprain as well.
I know.
And their running game has not gotten better since Pacheco came back.
No, it is not.
And the pass game still looks...
Yeah, but I if we're going based off of Patrick Mahomes being healthy for the playoffs, then no, I don't have...
I'm going off what your eyes have seen this season. It's become a joke that they win every game by 2 points.
I know, but... Okay, so if we're going to go based off that, if Patrick is really hurt, then yeah, then I have pause there because their offense can hardly function with him as the quarterback,
let alone
the Carson Wentz. Imagine if Carson Wentz leads a team to whatever their record was when he went out, and then they end up winning a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, and then he's going to do the opposite.
He does the same thing somewhere else. That would kill me.
God, if he does the Nick Foles, what Nick Foles did to him, if he does that to Patrick. But so, yeah, to your point. And then if you go over to the NFC, like, I love the Lions, even though the defense is depleted. But I love the Eagles. We've been talking about that all year. I'm bigger on the Minnesota Vikings than most people. The Commanders have that offense where some weeks it looks like there was one week where they didn't punt. They scored a touchdown or a field goal on every single drive. Like, I think the NFC
carried over like two games, actually.
Yeah, I think it was like week two and three. Tampa Bay, I think, is one of the most underrated teams in the NFL.
Slept on unnecessarily. So good when everybody's healthy. We've talked about how much we love Baker. We're big fans of Baker.
Yeah, we're huge.
Mike
Baker
Evans
fans.
Back. Oh my gosh. Bucky Irving this year has been a godsend. They found how to run the ball again because of him.
And they still have some of those guys from the Super Bowl team, Tristan Wirfs and David, the linebacker. Like, they still have Vita Vea. They still have pieces in place that know how to win, that have rings.
That's the thing,
like,
that scares me the most, because the Eagles have not been able to beat them in recent
seasons. I know.
We can't run the ball against, or we just don't try to run the ball against them.
Yeah,
like,
so
after two stops, we're like, okay, we're scared.
I think the general public has more faith in the AFC because of the flashy names. Josh Allen, you know, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. And it's like, oh yeah, like, these guys are so good. But if you're looking at it from strictly a football perspective, the NFC is better.
I was about to say, I mean, a couple teams in the NFC you didn't mention. The Los Angeles Rams, who just put up 44 on the Bills.
Yep.
The Green Bay Packers, who look really dang good. Like,
the Dallas Cowboys.
We just talked about the flaws with Pittsburgh in that Eagles game. Like, that is more so a defensive led team. They really can't score a bunch.
They've won two games just by kicking field goals. Like, they can't score.
The Baltimore Ravens have one of the worst pass defenses we've ever seen for a team in the Baltimore Ravens uniforms. Their offense is really good, but the defense is really suspect. The Broncos, better team than you think, actually.
Oh, yeah. Best defense in the NFL right now.
I was about to say, that actually is a little interesting to look at there.
Third week this year, because I have them on fantasy. It's been the third week they've scored over 20 points on fantasy.
Wow, damn.
You know how hard that is?
It's difficult as shit. I'm trying to figure that out. The Broncos, the detractor for me in the postseason would be, is Bo Nix the guy? Like, I don't know if Bo Nix.
Yeah, the Bo Nix thing is weird, because some games you're like, this is why some he days went out and like, got
man,
an
he's
older.
Really good. Yeah. Then it's like, okay, he's a rookie.
You're
he's
like,
rookie.
This is why he got an older quarterback and he knows the game and blah. And then other games you're like, the fuck's this kid doing?
Yeah, and then the Chargers, and we just saw the Bucks put up what 40 on them. So
yeah,
I think whoever comes out of the NFC, barring any more health issues, I'm taking Detroit as they are right now, even with all of the injuries they've had. Barring any more injuries, I think the NFC is better than the AFC if we actually
100%
come down
to the
brass
tacks.
Well, the Eagles already beat the Ravens. Like, the Eagles beat the entire AFC North.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is like, with even with the Lions, they have their defense is completely depleted. They have managed to stay insanely healthy, other than Montgomery going out, insanely healthy on offense. Both tackles are still starting. Jared Goff has been, you know, incredibly healthy. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been healthy. Like, Jameis Williams has been in and out, but he's looks like he's back. Like, they think they're going to be, their offense is going to be just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that Detroit has to worry about, though, is if they lose that home field advantage, boy.
Yeah.
No dome.
Jared Goff, Mr. Tiny Hands outside.
No game sweeping the nation. Real quick, congratulations to Travis Hunter on winning the Heisman.
What about his girlfriend, though? Can we talk about that?
Geez, I don't want to talk about it. Brandon's doing a thing because I talked about it before, how I did not get into listening to sports and podcasts in general to talk about players' girlfriends. This is why I think TikTok and just the internet has to, like, shrink Like, we need to constrict the internet. Too many people care about too many things that are unimportant. Like,
well, too many people have a voice that don't deserve one.
That too. I don't deserve.
That didn't earn one?
I quibble with deserve.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
I know.
I get up in arms when I say this.
Words matter.
Like, everyone deserves a voice. I know.
Words matter.
I am a wordsmith.
So, deserve, I don't think is the proper word. I don't think everybody. I don't think everybody needs a legitimate voice in that way. Yeah. Like, I think that detracts too much from reality. When you can see two videos that, like, damn it, tangent. Like this whole Luigi Mangione thing. Like, two videos where people say, "Oh, I'm happy you killed the CEO," and then it's everybody loves it. It's like, all right, okay. There is a swath of people that are happy about it, but we're extrapolating this out to be way more than it is.
I saw the funniest graffiti. It was a tag, and it was Luigi from Mario and Luigi, and he was holding a gun, and then there was a mushroom that just said, "Who's next?"
No, Jesus. All right.
And I was like,
moving
on. That's hilarious.
The NBA Cup. Oh, it's finally time, guys. NBA Cup, though, the finals are happening today, tonight, that is. Milwaukee versus OKC. Brennan, who you got?
Oh, Milwaukee's going to get blowed out, man. Wow. OKC is the best team in the NBA, even though Chet has been out. Once they get that 7-footer back,
I think
he's back now, but he was out for like two.
Yeah, he was out for a good bit. I think he had a hip issue.
Milwaukee's actually putting it together. They started off horrifically. They started off like 3-11. Hardenstein is back. They started like 3-11 Milwaukee, but then they went on a run to even that up, and I think they were 13-3 after that. So Milwaukee's playing better. Dame's been playing better, but he still doesn't play defense. OKC's the best team in the NBA. They're hands down, no questions asked. Maybe you can make an argument for the Boston Celtics. My fucking Celtics, dude. But OKC, it's OKC. It's OKC.
OKC is the best team in the NBA. But Giannis has been on a tour of y'all must have forgot. And I'm about to remind y'all because he's been playing out of his mind. I think this is going to be a really good game. This is probably the first game of the year I'm going to watch start to finish or try to at least. Actually, I'm not because I have Hooters a Pod tonight, so I can't even do that. I can have it on in the background, but. But I think it's going to be a really good game. I do think OKC will win. I think this is this year is going to be the culmination of Shea Gilgeous. I almost did the fake name I usually do for him when I'm talking with my brothers.
What is that fake name?
Shai Gillis Alexander, because there was a rapper that was Shai Gilly. So we often refer to him as that. So I think this is going to be the year he finally puts it all together and everybody finally takes note and he's going to win the MVP. And he's going to do all the things in order to, with all the
spotlight.
I think
SGA is going in the opposite direction of Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards, this was supposed to be his breakout year and he's kind of like declined, if not
up
and down.
Well, I think their team has taken a step back and also he's tried to, I don't know if it's the coaching staff or what, but no, like his game, they're moving him back. He's taking more threes. The NBA as a whole, everybody's taking more threes, but he's gone to taking more threes. And that is.
Do you think Cat was that important to that team?
No, I do not. I do actually. Cat makes a lot of things easier. He's another offensive weapon.
And he's 7'2".
Another person you have to really pay attention to, which opens up the floodgates for Anthony to really get nuts and go crazy. But yeah, I think OKC wins this, and a lot more people know the name SGA outside of just that what a pro wants, what a pro needs commercial by AT&T. Look at that, folks. Basketball. We did it. We're back. All right. It's not rusty.
And you'd be surprised how quick.
Quick! Name it hits.
Quick hit.
No, real quick, though, the NHL, where we are rusty. But, you know, it's not rusty. The Florida Panthers are not rusty at kicking the Oilers' asses. We beat the Edmonton Oilers. We didn't really kick their ass. It was a 6-5 game. Finish in regulation, though, so good on them. Right now, the way it shakes out, I believe, the Caps are on a freaking tear. And I believe Ovi's back from injury now. So the Caps are one. Well, Let me do it how I'm supposed to do it. In the Atlantic, the Maple Leafs are 1, Panthers are 2, Bruins are 3, even though they fired their coach earlier this year. I think he's somewhere else now. I can't remember. He might be on the Blue Jackets. I'd have to look that up. I got a lot more to do. In the Metropolitan, the Caps, Devils, and the Hurricanes. Wild card, we're looking at Tampa, Ottawa. The Flyers are on the cusp there. And also are the Rangers and the Penguinos. In the Western Conference, you got the Winnipeg Jets, you got the Minnesota Wild, and you got the Dallas Star in the Central. In the Pacific, you got the Golden Knights, you got the Kings, and you got the Edmonton Oilers. In the wild card, you have the Canucks and the Colorado Avalanche. The Avalanche lost last night. Devastating loss. I can't remember to who, but I think when I looked over, it was like 2-0.
Canucks, being 3-1.
They lost to the Canucks, yeah. Sorry for you, Greg and Kelly Boot. Calgary is on their tails, as well as the Utah Hockey Club, Brennan. The old Arizona Coyotes are now the Utah Hockey Club. A lot has changed since we last discussed. All right, and the last thing.
Hey-o.
All right, time-sensitive shows. I really like them, actually. I'm not even going to front. Fulham. Fulham played. I got my birthday jersey. I bought myself a jersey for my birthday, and the lady bought me one. That one's taking a little while longer to get here for some odd reason. But
it's coming from England.
I got my Anthony Robinson jersey, which is really apt with this game. Anthony Robinson, as we all know, should know at least, U.S. international player who plays for Fulham, one of my favorite guys. He plays left back. He's probably the best left back in the EPL right now, which would probably make him the best left back in the world, potentially. Quibble, you know, fight with your parents if you want to. But Fulham was able to get a 2-2 draw with the number one team in the league. So if we're looking at recent results, a 2-2 draw with Liverpool, a 1-1 draw with Arsenal. Those are the top two teams. A 3-1 win over Brighton. That's a top six side. A 1-1 tie with Tottenham. And that is a top. Where is Tottenham right now?
They're a top 10 side, aren't they?
They're for sure a top 10. Oh, wow. Damn. Tottenham's at 10. Wow. Tottenham's behind Fulham right now. So, yeah. Oh, wow. Chelsea snuck into the second position. So we have the draws with the top. Two of the top three teams. We play Chelsea on Boxing Day, the day after Christmas for those Americans. So interested to see how that result plays. This Sunday, we do play Southampton, though. Southampton is the worst team right now in the EPL. We have had a habit of beating the teams that theoretically, quote-unquote, we shouldn't, being those around us, and then struggling against some of the lower sides. We really got to nip that in the bud. We took a draw with Ipswich. We took an L to Wolves. We got to beat Southampton. They're the worst team here. We got to make a definitive statement. And also that win will put us at 27, and that will put us back in the top six, top five. Man City has had a lot of injuries this year. They've fallen down to top five. Liverpool, like I said, is standing at the top. They had a lot more runway, but after the draw with us and Chelsea had a couple wins, I believe. Chelsea's now nipping at their heels. So, yeah, great game by Fulham. Like I said, 2-2 draw. Mooney's got the second goal. Andreas Pereira got the first goal. Both were assisted by Anthony Robinson. That's why I brought him up and I got his jersey. So that is that. All right. All right. Let us get out of here because I'm starving. I worked out today and I haven't eaten yet. Oh, man. Whew. Nope. Wrong thing.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Brennan, where can we find you?
At Brennan T Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com for upcoming dates. And check out my other podcast, Ex Drinking Buddy. I have guests on and we talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. I had my buddy Desmond Lee on this week. He moved to New York originally to be a chef, went to culinary school, the whole deal. And now he's a comic. So it was a very fun episode, very interesting story. So yeah, check that out. X Drinking Buddy, wherever you get your podcasts. Joe.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. You can find this show's Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky at Kieran Press. Don't forget to check out all these shows on the A New Low Network. That is Who Does a Pod. That is A New Low itself. Don't forget to check out my music under the moniker Headphone Joe. No O, no E in the phone. Also, head over to headphonejoe.etsy.com. That's again, no O, no E in the phone. Brennan. Let's get out of here because you got to go to work and I got to eat something.
And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out. Granta Boys. He's doing better. The Dolphins wide receiver.